Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hey, it's an honor to share the word of God with you today. And if you're visiting, find yourself in this place. Maybe have no idea why you're here. Maybe you got brought with someone. Maybe it's your first time checking us all out. And maybe you're in a curious phase of your faith journey, just seeing, hey, what's out there? I just want to encourage you that you're in a safe place. And I want to encourage you that God wants to meet with you wherever your faith journey is at right now. He is no discriminator. He doesn't give you more favor because you've been a Christian for longer or because you've lived a better life or a worse life than the person left or right of you. He wants to meet you exactly where you're at. Your best life is with Jesus. And what you do this side of eternity matters. And so later on in the message, I'm simply going to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit, as I'm speaking, will begin to prompt something inside of you, because we truly believe that your best life is with Jesus. And that's not just like a gimmick or a random thing. We just know that He loves you so much. And today, I pray that this word edifies. I pray that it encourages, it uplifts. It brings conviction to areas of our lives that we need to, but also that it helps stir up our faith, because we all need the help of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'm going to speak to you this morning on this thought, audacious faith. Audacious faith. Now, I am well aware, even as I say that title, that this kind of thought, this kind of topic, as we unpack it, is so counterculture. It stirs up different emotions, stirs up different feelings. Maybe you're in this room, you're like, Gaz, I just had enough faith to drag myself and my family to this row of seats today at an 11 a.m. service, and now you're talking to me and going to begin to unpack an audacious faith. I want to encourage you, stay with me on the journey, but we don't do this in our own strength. We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my assignment from the Lord really is simply to encourage you, to uplift you, not to push you down, but to pull you up in your faith and to let the Word of God minister to your soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to get into audacious faith over Vision Weekend. We spoke about leaned into this year. We're going to be looking at, we're going to be praying into, we're going to be concentrating on this thought of faith in all our campuses, in all our ministries, in everything that we do, even in our families and different spheres that we're in. And one of the areas we're going to be looking at is this thought or this concept called audacious faith. And I want to remind you, audacious faith means this: bold, daring trust in God that acts on His promises even when circumstances suggest otherwise. It is faith that is confident enough to approach God boldly in prayer and obedience, expecting that He will act according to His character and according to His word. And that comes from the Latin word audax, which means this: bold, daring, fearless, and willing to ask. Willing to ask, or willing to risk, other translations have. But let's get into the Word of God with that framework set before us. Hebrews 10, 32, 39. The writer of Hebrews says this: remember those earlier days after you had received the light. In other words, after you had received the gift of salvation, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution, and other times you stood side by side with those you were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison, joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So now, do not throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and not delay, and by my righteous one will live by faith. And I will take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Wow, that's a little bit hard-hitting. But he goes on to say this, verse 39. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. I want to say that last line again, because it should encourage you and uplift you. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Father, we thank You so much for Your holy word. We acknowledge none of us are perfect in this room. And we pray that as Your word is preached and spoken through the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit, You'd minister to our hearts, the seed would land on soft soil, fertile ground. Holy Spirit, would You speak? Would You lead? Would You guide? I pray that today would not just be an evidence of fancy words, as the disciples said, but rather a demonstration of power through your Holy Spirit in our lives. Would you equip us? Would you encourage us? Would you edify us? Would you give us areas of our lives that need repentance to repent from, areas that need correction to correct? We love you, Lord. Have your way today. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen, amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering of praise? Can we also thank our worship team? Thank you guys so much. Hey, how good was Sean Boone's encouragement as a worship leader? And are we going to speak about the NSYNC pants that he's rocking? Are we talking about that? Are we there? Yeah, are we talking about that? Sean, if you're backstage, I'm tempted to bring you out right now to show the cushion pants that you were wearing in the house of the Lord. My parents would be disgusted. Absolutely disgusted. Hey, let's get into the Word of the Lord. Hey, it's an honor to share God's Word with you, and I just pray that this encourages you and edifies you. So we're in the book of Hebrews. We've been speaking really from the book of Hebrews since Vision Sunday. We've been unpacking faith. It's probably between this and James in the New Testament, probably two of the most dynamic books in terms of unpacking faith. Faith is demonstrated as an action. Faith is taught about. It kind of goes into overdrive. It takes the promises of the Old Testament in the Pentateuch and kind of brings them back to life, kind of demonstrating that, no, faith isn't just a New Testament thing. It was shown in the Old Testament. It brings it to life. It encourages faith and believers. It says, hey, I know you're down. I know you're out. I know you're in persecution. But let me tell you, still have faith. And so the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who he is, or who the person is, but we know that the person is encouraging people who are thinking about throwing away their faith. They're going back to Judaism, which is what they believed before they were followers of the way. The early church got started on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the early church began. The Holy Spirit broke out. Thousands and multitudes were added to the church, and the church started to see signs and wonders, and the disciples were equipping, and leadership structures were put in place. And this was the birthplace of revival, so to speak. It was the reversal of the Tower of Babel. Here there was unity and people building together the kingdom of God. And so now all these believers who believed in Judaism, now Jesus was just simply maybe a prophet, wasn't really the Son of God, now all of a sudden saying, hey, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But life has gotten really hard. It's gotten really difficult. It's gotten really crazy. And so now they're tempted to say, hey, I'm going to throw away my faith that I have, because the old belief system I had, it's a lot easier to live with. I'm not getting persecuted. I'm not going to be thrown in jail. I'm not going to be blacklisted with me and my family and my business. So they're tempted to throw it away. And so the writer of Hebrews is going to give them pep talks, like pre-game huddles. Hey, keep going. Keep walking in your faith journey. Keep going forward. Keep enduring. Keep persevering. And you can hear the language all throughout the book of Hebrews. But the passage we just read starts off with, hey, I want to remind you of the faith, the light, the gift of salvation that you once had. What's the writer of Hebrews speaking about? It's speaking about a group of believers who grew up, who came to faith hearing either stories of Pentecost or were birthed into salvation through the movement of Pentecost. And he's saying, hey, remember how you started. Yeah. Remember all the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the early church being birthed. And you guys were daring, man. People put you in prison. And you said, I don't care. I'm going to believe for the prison guard officer to get saved. People knocked you down, but you said, I don't care. Even if I'm being stoned, I see the Lord before me, Stephen said. He said, I don't care what's happening. I'm still going to seek God, and we're going to advance the kingdom. The kingdom of God's going to grow. And the writer here says, hey, remember that faith that you once had. Remember that faith that you once had. I could kind of paraphrase it to 21st century, a Western church. It would kind of be like, hey, over 35, 38-ish people in the room. That's me. That's most people in the room. Hey, remember the faith that you had when you were in youth ministry. Come on. Remember the faith you had when you were a young adult. Remember how you believed for Rossmoyne High to actually all be saved. Remember how you actually believed that God could move through Curtin University? There was three or four of you in that little dungeon prayer meeting at university, but somehow you still went and you still believed that God could do great things. Remember the faith you had back then, and now I know life is difficult. Life is different. There's bills to pay. There's snotty noses to wipe. There's things up happening in the world. There's crazy wars going on. Petrol prices are now $1 million a litre. you know, interest rates are rising and rising and rising, and then you've got all this stuff to deal with, and you're trying to juggle your stuff, and you're trying to do different things, and in the middle of all this stuff, it's just life. It's life. It happens to all of us. But in the middle of all this stuff, remember the faith you once had. It's not a discount of what life is happening right now. It's not belittling anything going on. It's just an encouragement. Remember the faith you once had. And don't throw away that faith. And don't think that somehow you're too mature to have that kind of faith. Come back to the faith that you once had. There was an audacious faith. It was a faith that encouraged. It was a faith that uplifted. And here's the thing. All throughout Hebrews, we're going to see this beautiful pattern. And this beautiful pattern is that enduring faith and audacious faith are going to partner together. They're going to be two sides of the same coin. They aren't mutually exclusive. They're actually complementary. Hebrews 11, 24, 26 give us the story of Moses, a hero of the faith. It says he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. So in the Bible, we find Moses in the Old Testament. And he turned his back from where he was living, political power, wealth, security, royal identity, and all these things based on a word of God. To a place he can't see. Think about how crazy this is. To a place he can't see. He's got a royal palace behind him. He doesn't have to care about interest rates. He's got a house. He's all set. Everything's for him. But a promise from God, and he audaciously takes God at his word for a promise he can't see yet, with adversaries before him to cross over into a promised land. And then get this, Moses endures. He endures in Midian. He endures in a wilderness. He endures not yet getting to a promised land. He endures kings and giants. He endures. And he has an audacious faith to start off with, but he continues to endure on the way. And the lesson from the book of Hebrews when we're being pointed to Moses is actually this, that you don't need to endure for a comfortable faith. You need to endure for an audacious faith. Let me teach that out for a second. You don't need to endure for a comfortable faith. You endure for an audacious faith. If someone's in a position where maybe they've got loved ones that don't yet know Jesus, and their immediate family, and your heart is like their blood, that like, you know, it's your own. And your heartfelt posture is, well, you know, maybe one day they'll come to Jesus, maybe one day they won't. You know, it is what it is. It'll happen when it happens. You don't need to endure that kind of faith dynamic. Because you can't endure what you're indifferent to. Do you understand that? You can't endure what you're indifferent to. If it happens, it happens. You don't need to endure that, because if it happens, cool. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to keep going on with my life. But what you need endurance for is an audacious faith that says, you know what? If they walk through those church doors right now, you could knock me over with a feather. Because the life they're living right now is so counter to the kingdom of God, it doesn't make sense if they came to the kingdom of light right now. But I'm going to audaciously take God at his word. I'm going to believe. I'm going to pray. I'm going to intercede. You see the difference? It's an audacious faith that now you have to endure. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. All these great heroes of faith. Joshua marches around Jericho. It was an audacious plan. March in silence? What the heck? March in silence? And he endured for 7 days. He endured. Can you see the link between audacious faith and endurance? That when you have an audacious faith, you endure in the things of God. Paul wrote in all his letters in the New Testament to the early church, every time, you know, every time when you study it, every time he mentions enduring faith, it's actually a reference also to audacious faith. Romans 5, 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Timothy 2, 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 Corinthians 11. Like we could go on and on. Every time he writes to a church to endure, it's because the church is actually right then and there believing for revival in its area. Christians believing for revival in Rome. Christians for believing for revival in Thessalonica, in the city of Corinth. Believing God to reach people where they are at, in prisons, in workplaces. Believing God to grow the church. Believing for miracles and signs and wonders because they don't have provision. Every time Paul writes, hey, I want to encourage you to endure, it's because the believers had audacious faith in the first place. And it takes audacious faith. And I just want to encourage you, Nations Myrie, 11 a.m. service, to come back to having an audacious faith. Not a survival faith, but an audacious faith. an audacious faith in God, to believe his character, to believe his countenance, to believe his word, to come back. This isn't like a hyper faith thing. It's not like, oh, a minister is in charge of this. No, no, this is our responsibility as a priesthood, as believers, to have an audacious faith. Audacious faith believes God for the impossible, and an enduring faith keeps believing when the journey becomes difficult. But it takes both in partnership. It takes both. Hebrews 4, 12 to 16 says it like this. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates, dividing between soul and spirit. And verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we do have one who has been tempted in every way, just as you and I are, yet he did not sin. That's great news. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace in time of need. I love that. That's one of my favorite verses. Let us approach his throne room confidently so we might find mercy and grace in time of need. Anyone in the room just need mercy and grace in time of need? Come on, let's be honest. I need mercy and grace in time of need. One of the things the writer of Hebrews is going to kind of tie together constantly in the book of Hebrews, particularly in Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 11, he's going to talk about or reference this priesthood, this priesthood, this priesthood, this priesthood. He says, Jesus was now our great high priest. He is the final high priest, so to speak. And when he comes back in the book of Revelation, he will be the final high priest. And Jesus, the high priest, now goes before us, and now we can enter the throne room boldly to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. The book of Hebrews is written to Christians or believers who automatically understood that concept. They were unpacking it straight away as they were being read to them, or they were reading it themselves. Straight away, they knew what the writer was referring to, because a high priest was responsible for interceding for the people. A high priest was responsible for the intercessory life of the nation. When they went into battle, it wasn't like, hey, can you pick up a sword and can you pick up a shield? It's like, no, we're going to battle. Can you go pray? Hey, we don't know the direction that we're going to go. Are we going to go left or right? We don't have Google Maps. Where are we going? Like, we don't know where to go. Can you guys pray and can you guys help us on this journey? It speaks about this priesthood and this royal priesthood that Jesus was. And all throughout, the writer of Hebrews is going to link audacious prayer, audacious faith with prayer. All throughout. You can't have audacious faith and not have a prayer life. You can't. You can't separate them. Prayer and audacious faith. All throughout the Bible, actually, or every time you see an audacious move of God, every time you see a city won for Jesus, every time you see something amazing, signs, wonders, read the verses before, read the verses after. It's always tied to prayer. And one of the key things when it comes to audacious faith is that it always needs prayer. Always needs prayer. Hebrews 11, Hebrews 4, let us boldly then come to his throne room. Hebrews 11, it's impossible without faith to please him, knowing that when you come to God, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What are those two passages saying? Coming to God, prayer, and believing he rewards faith. Coming to God, prayer, and believing he rewards faith. You couldn't pull it apart. In the book of Hebrews, they're inseparable, prayer and faith. Prayer and faith, prayer and faith. Exodus 32 tells the story of Moses. And he gets the people out of the promised land and they're on their way and he's having a beautiful moment with God. And God says, hey, listen, there's people on the bottom of the mountain. They're worshiping a golden calf. They're breaking my covenant. God doesn't break his covenant. People break their covenant. And God's loving and he's kind and he's not some cruel dictator. But in the Old Testament, Jesus hadn't come yet. So sin had severe consequences, a holy God and unholy people. There wasn't the mediator in between of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So God says to Moses, I'm going to wipe it out. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm done. We just made a covenant, man. They're breaking it straight away, day one. And Moses says, hold up, God. He starts to intercede. Let me pray. Let me intercede on behalf of the people. Exodus 32, and it says this, verse 13. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, who you made this promise. I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Verse 14. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. He appeals to God's promises, to God's reputation, and he asks God not to relent. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't have amnesia. Moses is like, hey, God, I just want to remind you, you're slow to anger. And God's like, oh, man, I forgot that one. Thank you. I was having an off, Gabriel, I was having an off day. I'm glad Moses reminded. Like, it's no, like, he's just appealing to the character of who God is. He says, hey, God, I don't really know what else to pray right now, but I know who your character is. And so I'm going to pray according to your character. No wonder the writer of Hebrews says the word of God is so sharp and it's powerful. Why? Because the word of God displays the character of God. There's a reason this year as a church we're speaking about faith after last year speaking about belief. Because you have to believe in the character of God and who he is to then take a step of faith to say that's who you are. That's who you are. Because if you don't believe that God is the healer, you'll never really, with a conviction, pray for healing in your life. If you don't actually believe and know that God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, you'll never have a pure conviction in your life to pray for provision in your life because you don't know who he is. So Moses says, I know who you are. I know the covenant that you keep with your people. And God says, you got me. You got me, Moses. That's who I am. And it says he relented. John Chrysostom commented that Moses stood before God as a mediator for the people, pleading with boldness. Audacious faith through prayer. Audacious faith through prayer. I'm going to put a picture up. I was in the bedroom, just chatting to my daughter, Alia, and she gave me permission to use this. She said, if it makes her look good, I'm allowed to use it. So I said, all right, Alia, fair call. And so a bit of context. My wife's been a bit unwell the last couple of weeks. She's got this crazy, rare, wild thing, Ross River virus, which is common on the East Coast, not in WA, and it's not, don't worry, it's not contagious, chill out, but it's just chronic, and so we've just been believing for healing, taking communion and believing for healing, and so you kind of wonder, like, how much your children take in, and it's just a beautiful reminder as well, massive shout out to our kids ministry team, who disciple our children so well. So she wrote this, she's been reading Lazarus being raised from the dead and Jesus doing that. And so she writes aside about this. I had promised you I had nothing to do with this. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Jesus believed in God and raised Lazarus from the dead. If you believe in Jesus, you'll be closer with Jesus and he wants to be close with you. This scripture shows you that God is a true God and can do miracles. Then based on the word, remember Moses, based on the character of God, then she prays this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to believe in you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. I pray that you would heal my mom. Amen. How beautiful is that? How awesome is that? That's from a 10-year-old. When did we graduate from that? You know? When did we graduate from that? Because it's a challenge for me personally. Because I read that and I was like, man, I wish that was my prayer life. Come on, let's be real. Let's be real. And today, maybe the encouragement from the Lord by his spirit is simply to say, hey, I want to take you from survival faith to audacious faith. Because maybe you're in the room, you're like, guys, you have no idea. I just have enough faith just to get through this next 2 hours, right? Don't worry, it's only 5 more minutes of me preaching. But you're like, but maybe God wants more for you. Yeah. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants more for you. Yeah. Maybe he wants to awaken something in you this morning. Maybe he wants to do something new and fresh in your life. And I just want to encourage you, audacious faith is always led by prayer. Always led by prayer. You can't separate it. Yeah. So maybe you say, guys, all right, I want audacious faith. Where do I start? Start on your knees. Start on your knees. Yeah. Start in prayer. Start in the prayer closet. Start at home. Intercede. E.M. Bounds said this, when faith ceases to pray, it ceases to live. When faith ceases to pray, it ceases to live. Wow. What else helps with audacious faith? Well, it's no surprise, this one. Audacious faith needs the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. I told about my campus last week. I said, listen, the more you guys are going to hear from me and the older I get, it might seem like a bit of a cop-out, but the more my message is going to be based on two things, prayer and the Holy Spirit. because as I study every great move of God and I read up about it and I look at the book of Acts and I look at the Old Testament and New Testament, it's become apparent to me that every recipe for a great move of God, for a great awakening, it's always tied. Holy Spirit prayer, Holy Spirit prayer, Holy Spirit prayer, Holy Spirit prayer, Holy Spirit. Like everything, every person that was human. Pastor Chris spoke in messages last week. Help me, I'm human. We're all human. Every person in the great move of God was human. Weaknesses. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Now you understand Jesus, who did not sin, but he was human, the Son of God, the fully deity, but also human. Now you have an example before you. Prayer and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 4, 29, 31, after persecution, the church prays this. Lord, grant that we won't suffer anymore. No, grant to your servants with boldness that we may speak your word. We know the rest of the story. The room shakes. The room's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Boldness increases. And here's the thing. Audacious faith isn't always a bigger faith. It's a bolder faith. It's not a bigger faith. It's a bolder faith. I want to encourage you, for those in the room that have the gift of tongues right now prevalent in your life, pray in the Spirit, man. It edifies yourself. It lifts yourself up if you pray in the Spirit. Every opportunity you get, pray in tongues. I wish everyone could do it. I wish you could pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit. If you don't yet have that gift, just say, Holy Spirit, help me, lead me, guide me, speak to me. Later on, we're going to do an altar call. Say, I want a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want laying on of hands. But there's got to be something powerful about a church that loves prayer and loves the person and the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Every outpouring, prayer and Holy Spirit, prayer and Holy Spirit, prayer and Holy Spirit. Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Every move of God. Disciples, Peter says, Sir, can I have something that you have? I'm just on my way to another prayer meeting. I got nothing on me. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I have, I give to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many times people in your word with an audacious faith that you have and you're believing for will want something from you that you don't have in the physical. And they're the best places to be. Because like, you know what? I got nothing. But what I do have, and the power of the Holy Spirit, I lay hands and I give it to you. What a beautiful place for a church to be, hey? To be fueled by prayer, but also to be fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me wrap this up. There's some barriers. We know what helps. The gift of fanning into flames for audacious faith. We also know that there's some barriers to audacious. These things hinder our audacious faith. There's a couple of different things. But really quickly, now that we know the great stuff, let's look at the not so great stuff. The barriers to audacious faith. Number one, no particular order. The culture of society. Culture of society. When you have audacious faith, let's just be honest. When you have audacious faith, you offend two groups of people, two types of people, two groups of people. You'll always offend lukewarm Christians. And you'll always offend the society that you're in. I was born in Cape Town, South Africa, but I came across when I was 5 years old. So I've been Australianized, so to speak, you know, follow all the rugby, soccer. Actually, no, that's a lie. I still follow the South African rugby team. But every other team, I'm Australian. I noticed something in our culture. We kind of at times have a bit of tall poppy syndrome. Don't be too audacious in your faith. Yeah. Don't believe for too much in God. Yeah. You know, we've already got enough people. We don't need to invite more people. You know, like, why do we need more churches? What we have is enough. What, have you noticed that? In society, when you tell someone about an audacious dream in the kingdom of God, it kind of gets belittled. And it's a barrier because here's the thing, it's not new. Nehemiah went to build a wall. He gets called a hero of the faith in Hebrews 11. Nehemiah goes to build a wall. And on his way to build a wall, the people who were in Babylonian rule and reign still have that culture inside of them. And so he's building a wall and they're complaining. Like, what's the point, man? They're building something for the kingdom of God. They're building to protect God's people. And they are still complaining. Because the culture of society is in them. And audacious faith challenges people. It challenges society that we're in, but it also challenges at times our lukewarm Christianity. Because before we put that on other people, can we all confess there's a little bit of lukewarmness in all of us? Come on, let's confess that right now. That's why it requires repentance. Right, God help. God, I'm in a survival faith season right now. Would you help my faith journey? God, I believe. Would you help my unbelief? Here's another thing that's a barrier. The wrong theology in God. We spoke about belief before. Oh, I don't really think God wants to move anymore. You know, I think kind of he's done. You know, he wrote the Bible, it's done, full stop. Like that's wrong theology in God. Not knowing the character of God, that's wrong theology of God. Oh, well, you know, like, no, like, you have to know what God says. That's all the writer of Hebrews keeps coming back to. This is why the word of God's so powerful, because you know what God says. You don't pray for healing if you don't know that God still wants to do healing signs and wonders today. You have to know who God is. You have to know the character of God, the countenance of God, so that you can call upon the name of God when you are in trouble. If you don't know that God is Emmanuel with us in all seasons, when you're lonely, you won't cry out to him. So we have to know who God is. Shout out to Nations Bible College. Do Bible College. It's a great plug. What about this? Low expectations of God. Ben, you can join me. Because you can't be disappointed. PK says this all the time. You can't be disappointed by someone or something that you have low expectations of. So sometimes the enemy of audacious faith is actually really low expectations in God. You know, I only believe God to do that much because if he doesn't do it, I won't be disappointed. Yeah. So it's easy to talk to your friends and say, oh, I'm really believing for God to, you know, like reach this little thing in my life and it's so tiny and so small. But I wonder if God's got something bigger. I wonder if God's asking you in your seat right now, what's the area of your life that you've begun to lower your expectations of God in? Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's in your school. It's in your TAFE, your university. I want to encourage you to have audacious faith in that area again. And the last one is this, as Pastor Christy spoke about last week, it's our own brokenness. It's our own brokenness. Sometimes because of the wrestle inside of us, that deep down we're flawed because we were born into sin. So there's a battle inside every human being in this room right now. There's a battle between light and darkness. There's a battle, the gift of the Holy Spirit inside you, the light inside the darkness. But there's also these earthly desires that exist in your soul. And sometimes we crave the wrong kingdom. When we crave the wrong kingdom, what happens is our vision starts to get taken away from building God's kingdom to building our own kingdom. That's why motives matter in the kingdom of God. And when you start to address those things in your life, as you start to address it, you start to say, hey, I want to put to bed those things. That's why you can have audacious faith in the wrong things. The Tower of Babel, let me remind you, in the Old Testament, was audacious faith. Yeah. But they wanted to be God. Yeah. They wanted to build a tower for themselves. They wanted to get to heaven. They were unified. Sometimes you can have an audacious faith, but it not be to build the kingdom of God. It is to build your own kingdom. And that's why when it comes to audacious faith, Holy Spirit prayer. Holy Spirit, the fire that what? Purifies. Purifies our heart. Purifies our life, purifies our spirit. And so we have to, on this journey, all of us in this room, let me just say from the outset, none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. But we all do need to be challenged in our faith. Yeah. And God wants to pull up his church. Not squash them down, not say, hey, this is what you aren't doing, what you, like, no, that's not God. Yeah. God wants to encourage his church. In Hebrews, he says, hey, there's a bunch of heroes of the faith. Check out Moses, check out Abraham. I don't know if you've ever been in a room with your like person that you really admire or like, you know, you really like, oh, they're awesome or whatever. And then you meet them and you're like, oh, they're just a normal person. Anyone been in that situation before? Yeah. It's kind of me when I first came to church. I was like, PK, look at him. He's awesome. Like, that's great. And then I met him. I was like, oh, just a normal West Coast Eagles supporter. You know? And it's easy at times in those spaces, because here's the thing, we're all human. Every single person in this room. Yeah. Pastor Ken Fletcher says it like this, most of us are always like the rest of us. Yeah. And there's always a wrestle inside. And God wants to just simply encourage his church right now to build up your faith once again. Yeah. Wherever faith level you're at right now, praise God for it. Yeah. Don't diminish it. Don't like, oh, guys, you're saying, no. Praise God for it. But what if this morning you simply took the next step? That's all. What if this morning you said, Gareth, like I know like audacious faith might be 10 steps ahead, But how do I get there? Just take the next step. Just take the next step. Take the next step. Maybe like in Nehemiah, maybe the next step, you're like, God, I'm believing down there for like a wall this high, but maybe the first step is I'm just going to believe it for half high. But then can I encourage you, when you get there, don't stay there. When you get there, keep going. And when you get there, keep going. And when you get there, keep going. God's gracious. He loves His church. He loves His people. But He wants us to be on the journey with Him. And I want to leave you with this thought. Comfortable faith accepts the world as it is. Audacious faith prays until the world changes. Comfortable faith accepts the world as it is. But audacious faith prays until the world changes. I want to encourage you. Let's be a church that has audacious faith. When you see the news and you see a bunch of laws written in the land, do you have audacious faith to be like, hey, yeah, I'm going to catch up with my MP or whatever and have a call? Absolutely. Praise God for that. Don't not do that. Do you have enough faith to be like, hey, I'm just going to take 5 minutes and pray for some righteous laws to be made in the land right now? I'm going to take 5 minutes to pray for my government. I'm going to take 5 minutes to say, you know, I'm crazy to believe that even in the middle, they'll stop speaking and be like, man, something feels wrong. Something feels off here. I'm crazy to believe that there's actually a prayer. Do you know right now in Parliament, there's actually prayer meetings that happen all throughout Parliament? Why? Because God's already doing something. But He's looking for a church to partner with what He's doing right now. And so I come back to having an audacious faith. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.